VoiceOver describes what's happening on your iPhone screen.
VoiceOver on, settings.
So you can navigate it just by listening.
Books, contacts, calendar, double tap to open. Breakfast with Anna from 10 to 11.
And get on with your day. Accessibility, there's more to iPhone.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 50% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
This is a podcast from The Times, sports newspaper of the year.
Hello, I'm Gabriel Marcotti, speaking to you from Warsaw with the latest game podcast from Euro 2012. Today I'm delighted to be joined by Rory Smith and Matt Dickinson. It says here, I should ask you where you guys are, but I know exactly where you are because I'm a professional. Rory's in Gdansk, and Dicko, you're somewhere else. You're in Krakow, yes?
I am in Krakow Square, yes.
Fantastic. In a minute, we'll be discussing the quality of what we've seen so far, but obviously, we're going to start with England. Dicko, let's start with you because you were actually there among the flies and the dreck and the heat. 1-1 draw, a point. It's a good result. It doesn't matter how it was obtained. You got a point against what on paper we all thought was the toughest team in the group. Am I wrong?
Well, it's a decent point. I would sort of disagree in the sense of it doesn't matter how it's obtained because obviously, you know, if you're going to progress, you need to play well or certainly play, you know, to your maximum. And England has still got plenty of room for development. You know, there were periods where I thought they were exactly what we'd expect, but there are other periods where they were alarmingly deep and, you know, individual players getting trapped on the ball. Giving the ball away. So, you know, we've got to be satisfied, but plenty of room for improvement still.
Rory, is there really room for improvement? I mean, when, except for Rooney, is there cavalry coming over the hill? Are these guys, are Milner and Young and Welbeck, who bizarrely was praised to high heaven on the radio, but was only given a 5 by the very cruel Matt Hughes. Is there really room for improvement?
I think there's a little when Rooney comes back in. I think that individual players can erase mistakes going forward. Oxlade-Chamberlain, it's cruel to pick on him because he's young and raw, and that's kind of his appeal. But there was a couple of times when he sort of misstepped the ball, and you could tell that exuberance was getting the better of him. But in terms of general improvement, no. And I mean, I've got to say, watching it on TV, and it is a different experience watching it on TV to being in the stadium, as Dicko would no doubt say. So I bow to his wisdom on this, but to me, it looked like England exactly as I'd expected them, which was a mixture of sort of Hodgson's Fulham and West Brom, which isn't a long ball team. He's not a long ball manager, but relatively direct, relatively straightforward in their approach, and Chelsea's approach to winning the Champions League, which is sitting on the edge of your box. And that's what England did. There was a time, I think, with about 5 minutes ago, when they actually had 8 players inside their box. And that is, I think, what we should expect from England now. And there's nothing wrong with that, because with the players they've got, they're not going to outplay teams.
Dicko, is this the worst England side at a major championships in your lifetime? Or is it merely the most defensive?
It's not the worst. I mean, I mentioned Euro 2000 the other day, and people forget how absolutely, appallingly, woefully, dreadfully, shockingly bad we were there after the first 15 minutes against Portugal. I mean, we had a left flank of Phil Neville, right-footed Phil Neville, and right-footed Dennis Wise. The team was hopeless. The management was shockingly awful. So, you know, it's hardly praise into the heavens to say they're going to be better than that. No, I mean, you know, Rory's right. We all know what the tactics were for yesterday. I guess the interesting test now will be, you know, against Sweden, who, you know, It's going to be interesting to see that, having lost that game, they're going to have to come into the game thinking they're going to need probably to get at least a point, maybe even a victory over England. Whether we can get away with same tactics in each of the matches, whether we're going to need to be a little more adventurous, whether we're going to need to take control of more of a game. So, you know, there are different tests to come for England, which is why I say it was all satisfactory yesterday. But, you know, to go to a tournament, you need to show a bit of adaptability. I don't think we're just going to be able to sort of stick to one plan and that will be unchanging the whole way through.
Rory, next up for England is Sweden, who I thought it was a remarkable game between Sweden and Ukraine. I loved Ibra getting stuck in early, although the magic man was Shevchenko, who we'll get to in a minute. But what did you see from Sweden? And certainly on set pieces, I would assume, with all those big dudes, there'll be a good match for England.
Oh, you could say the same for England, you know, as Erik Hamrén prepares to face them. That, you know, the Swedes would be looking at England and saying, well, set piece is probably the way they're going to score. I thought the Swedes looked like what we expect from Sweden. They've got an amazing kit. That is the nicest kit I have seen in world football for several years. But that aside, I think, yeah, you know, they're big, they're strong. They've got some good ball players in midfield, as the Swedes always do, and obviously Ibrahimovic provides the X factor. I think the way results have gone for England is actually quite bad. Sweden will need to win, which means that they'll have to come out and play, which would cause England more of a problem, I think, than if Sweden, you know, would have been sort of relatively happy with a draw. And then England are going to have to play the Ukraine, the hosts, in the final game, potentially knowing that it's one of the two of them through, and that is not ideal for England at all. Sweden will be Sweden and England will be England in the next game. That sounds ridiculous and meaningless and what have you, but there's no surprises from Sweden, I think, and England obviously have played them relatively recently too, but there's probably no surprises from England either.
Dicko, your thoughts on Andriy Shevchenko? And I love the fact that what I loved about the Ukraine victory yesterday was just it was just so Ukrainian, in the sense that, you know, there's four generations of Dynamo Kiev, from obviously from Yarmolenko, who's 22 and is a great winger, I thought, put in a wonderful cross to Sheva with his two goals, Oleg Blokhin on who was himself a legendary goal scorer on the bench, and of course Valery Lobanovsky looking on from somewhere in the heavens, but it was all about Sheva. Is this just sort of classic Disney-esque sort of the adrenaline wipes out the back pains, wipes out the general indifference of the last 4 or 5 years, and you get sort of spurred on to greater heights?
There's got to be a bit of that. I mean, it's a great uplifting story, isn't it? I mean, I remember thinking, you know, during his time at Chelsea, I mean, I think everyone sort of almost felt a bit bad having to not have, well, we didn't have to tease him, mock him, ridicule him, but the whole sort of perception of the owner's pet clearly didn't help him either. And it's, you know, inside there, it was a, you know, one of Europe's best strikers in his time at AC Milan. So I think everyone just likes to see, loves to see a story like this. And I think the tournament overall is just another sort of great narrative on top of quite a few that this tournament's already thrown up. I mean, I came in with pretty high expectations that this would be a very, very good Euros, and pretty much everything I've seen so far, although England versus France, I'm sure the neutrals would very much disagree. England might be the spoil sports party poopers of the whole thing, but I think this is shaping up as a great tournament.
Well, actually, that's a very neat transition, Rory, for my next question. There really weren't very many bad games. Obviously, Dicko mentioned England-France there, and we can maybe give them a pass also because of the insane heat. But Germany-Portugal was also a bit yucky, in my opinion, but at least there were great players on display. But is this an exceptional tournament so far, in your opinion, Roy K. Smith? And what games stand out for you?
Is it an exceptional tournament? It's hard to say after the first round. I agree with you completely. I think we've had six good games, either very good or good games, and I think we've had one sort of average game, Germany-Portugal, and we've had one game involving England. what stood out for me, I thought Italy-Spain, which I had the pleasure of sitting next to you, Gab. I thought Italy-Spain was outstanding. Russia and Croatia were both, you know, were both impressive in slightly more straightforward victories. But no, Italy-Spain, I thought tactically it was fascinating, a huge quality. There was a moment, which you probably will still remember, when Andres Iniesta, in the very first few minutes, sort of performed a trick that defied physics, and the excitable Italian sat next to me, which is you, Gab, made a sort of delighted squealing noise, as if to say that you were sort of in your element watching this magician work his magic. And it kind of went on from there. I thought the individual quality was incredible. The tactical sort of match play was fascinating, watching Italy's 3-5-2 against Spain's 4-6-0. You had a system with no strikers, a system with two very unorthodox strikers in Balotelli and Fasano. You had Pirlo kind of rolling back the years to do this incredible midfield masterclass. I thought that was, it was just 90 minutes of fantastic football. I really enjoyed that. And I agree with Dicko. I think that it's a good, strong tournament this year. I think there's quite a lot of teams who are relatively evenly matched, which is always a good thing. And it's just nice to go through the Euros in its proper format before UEFA ruin it.
Dicko, anybody really disappoint you so far?
VoiceOver describes what's happening on your iPhone screen.
VoiceOver on, settings.
So you can navigate it just by listening.
Books, contacts, calendar, double tap to open. Breakfast with Anna from 10 to 11.
And get on with your day. Accessibility, there's more to iPhone.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with five different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Actually, anybody out of the competition already, in your opinion, just from what you've seen?
Anybody out? Well, Republic of Ireland, I guess, are out. So they can pack their bags. But no, I mean, I'd prefer, if I'm allowed to stick on the positive. I mean, I thought, you know, the Dutch obviously got a bit of stick for their failure to convert all those chances against Denmark. But, I mean, there was some mesmerising stuff from them. I mean, Schneider, yeah, you might see a better performance in defeat by any individual this tournament than his. I mean, I thought there was one pass he did to Huntelaar off the outside of his boot that... we played a press cup match yesterday and I tried to replicate about 747 times and oddly enough didn't get anywhere near. It was just one of the greatest passes that I've ever seen, and you know, that was, you know, in a performance, Dutch performance that ended in quite a shocking, surprising defeat, but that's great because that's put the onus on one of the best teams in the tournament now to come out against Germany. So I mean, there's so much to look forward to that I'm gonna refuse to be drawn into your negativity, and I'm gonna stay happy clappy.
I'm sure my old broadcast buddy Steve Claridge, who I believe was playing up front for the press team, really appreciated you attempting that Snyder pass so many times, Dicko. I wanted to get a sense from you whether this has recalibrated your views of the favourites to win it all for the tournament.
I tipped Germany before the start, and which, you know, because I like to make sort of wild left field predictions. And I think I'm still going to stand by that. I think I've not seen, I know they weren't fantastic against the Portuguese, but I went to see Mario Gomez yesterday. That's an awful journalist trick, that is. I went to see him. Mario Gomez had a press conference that I attended yesterday. And he said, in response to Michael Ballack, the Times columnist, who said on ESPN that Germany have 50% more to give, they were only playing at half of their capacity. Gomez said, well, it's nice to have room for improvement, and if we can beat Portugal at half capacity, imagine what we can do when we're running sort of at full gas. And I agree with him on that. I think that there's more to come from the Germans. In terms of the Spanish, I think they looked, who were obviously the main threat, I think they looked good against the Italians, who also looked very good. If the Italians play like that, they'll go a long way. But the problem I have with the Spanish, and it's kind of heretical almost to say it, but I think too often they slow to walking pace near the box when teams defend in a sort of effective, methodical, quite well-drilled way against them. We saw it with the French yesterday, that there was this white wall of England defenders that just slowed them to a complete halt around the box, and the Spanish do it too often. And as soon as that happens, you might as well just give the defence the ball back and say, right, let's start again. I don't think I've ever seen a team score a goal at walking pace. And I think that's happening to the Spanish too much now. And that worries me about Spain.
Oh, I've seen Brazilian sides in the 1970s score goals at walking pace. But, Dicko, let's end it with you. But you mentioned Germany there. And Spain. Spain, of course, have the Republic of Ireland coming up on Thursday. Germany, perhaps not super impressive against Portugal in the opener, but they got the goal they needed through Rory's buddy Mario Gomez, who he hung out with. Although Gomez, of course, might be dropped for Miro Klose against Holland. You obviously watched the Dutch. You were gaga about Sneijder. Tee this one up for us. I mean, Holland got a few things to iron out. Do you think he's going to change the formation, maybe make it slightly more rational and less Robin-esque?
Well, I wouldn't drop Robin. I mean, essentially, yeah, there's a couple of the Dutch journalists that have had ongoing and pretty strong arguments with Van Marwijk about all to do with the young Van Bommel sort of double lock in midfield and arguing so strongly for the inclusion of Van der Vaart instead of one of them, that Van Marwijk said to a guy I know from De Telegraaf that he wanted to take him into a locked private room and only one of them would be coming out. That was even before they lost to Denmark, so things are getting pretty testy. Can't see Van Marwijk changing despite the stick he's getting. And I agree with Rory. I mean, it's Germany were my pre-tournament tips, but yeah, disappointed in victory against Portugal. I think of all the sort of big and sort of main contenders for this prize, I thought they were the team that seemed to have the most to improve on what I'd expected. I'd be fascinated to see how many changes Lowe makes, because I thought, I thought they were. They were not the side I'd expected to see, be interesting to see what improvement comes from. One thing I was fascinated to know about. I mean, I went to the England game yesterday and heard a noise even more and irritating than Vuvuzelas, which was the stadium announcer, who was coordinated happiness and chanting and singing, and there's no sense of just sort of the fans set the atmosphere. It was, you know, all this countdown to kickoff stuff that UEFA have begun as well. I mean, where's all this rubbish coming from? It's I find intensely irritating. I just wonder whether the other chaps were having the same experiences around the tournament.
Well, I try to refrain from sort of the snarky journalist. It was always better in my day, sitting on the, you know, standing on the crumbling terraces bit that somebody we all know likes to trot out. But that said, what I find really irritating is when they play classic rock and it drowns out the fans. But overall, I think certainly in the games I've been in, Warsaw and Gdansk, I think the fan experience from my perspective has been pretty good. The people are welcoming, the fans seem up for it. There was a surreal moment, and this is, I think, you know, maybe it's a reflection of the times we live in, during the Spain-Italy game, when all of a sudden these Polska chants erupted, from, and that was probably because maybe like 40% of the crowd where Polish fans dressed in Poland shirts. So obviously they're going to cheer their team and not one of the two teams on the pitch. That was a bit annoying. The wave was a bit annoying as well, although not as annoying as you expect. I mean, I just think we need to kind of remodulate. We're so used to club football, which ultimately I think reflects the culture or the fan culture in our own country or in the sort of top five or six European leagues, that, you know, I guess there's a different profile of supporter going to the competitions like this one, and they enjoy the game in a different way. As long as they don't pipe music and drown out fans at the wrong time, I personally don't have a problem with it.
I'd kind of agree with Gab. I think that the whole sort of, I guess it's part sort of gentrification and certainly corporatization of the fan experience is something that's been happening certainly for as long as I can remember, probably the 94 World Cup since then. And that's only because, I mean, I watched the 86 and 90 World Cup, so I don't remember thinking about what the fan experience was at the age of six. But I think that is a problem. And the music is clearly because UEFA don't want it to look as though it's quiet and there's no atmosphere in the stadiums in the build-up to kick-off or when there's a goal, which is, you know, when people expect to hear atmosphere. So they're pumping the White Stripes through, the sort of the weird Eastern European techno remix of the White Stripes through when teams score goals. They've got all the deathly ears putting music before games. And it is a shame because that's not what I think. I don't want to say purists, but people who want a more traditional atmosphere want. You want to hear the fans singing. The one thing I would say is I'm not quite sure how many fans there are. I know that the Italians had 6,000 in Gdansk for the Italy-Spain game, which isn't very much. There was a big swathe of empty seats, although the Spanish had come in numbers, which prompted one Italian friend of mine, not Gab, to comment that the economic downturn in Spain must not be as bad as everybody thought. I know the French haven't travelled in numbers, although they never do. There seems to be a lot of Germans and Russians about, but they're not many of anybody else. And I think that's a factor. You can easily walk through Gdansk and Sopot, which is the resort town just next to Gdansk, and not really notice there's a tournament on at times, to be perfectly honest, which isn't the case maybe certainly wasn't the case in South Africa. You knew there was a tournament on during the World Cup 2 years ago. In terms of the announcers, we haven't had that so much in Poland, I think. There's guys over over the tunnel, but we've not had a countdown to kick off yet, although hope springs eternal, so maybe we'll get one for Poland and Russia tonight.
Gentlemen, thank you both, and thanks to you all for listening. I'm going to be back on Thursday with two new guests. We're going to be teeing up the England game in Sweden and, of course, all the weekend's action. In the meantime, you can go to thetimes.co.uk. There's a great Euro 2012 hub. You can follow us on Twitter. We're all on there, and our Jedi leader, Ollie K, is as well. You can download our iPad app. It's got sort of like a newspaper, but it's got buttons and graphics and all kinds of fancy features that the kids enjoy. Till next time, bye-bye.
VoiceOver describes what's happening on your iPhone screen.
VoiceOver on. Settings.
So you can navigate it just by listening.
Books. Contacts. Calendar. Double tap to open. Breakfast with Anna from 10 to 11.
And get on with your day. Accessibility. There's more to iPhone.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage. All the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.